chapter 20. You might want to stay close. Amen. Let's give it up for our worship team. Amen. They were awesome and amazing worship tonight. Praise the Lord. Sometimes I forget I'm in the front row and I'll start dancing like no one's watching. Come on, somebody. And then I see you guys posted on Facebook, and you know who you are. I ever posted this. I already got 300 likes on it. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Give me a loud amen when you get there. Amen. Let's go ahead and start. After this, the armies of the Moabites, the Amorites, and some of the Munites declared war on Jehoshaphat. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. They are already at Hazan Tamar." This was another name for En-Gedi. Father, we come before you tonight, Lord. We love you. We thank you for who you are, God. And Father, we just pray that you'd speak to us tonight, God. I pray that you would encourage us, that your Holy Spirit would have full control tonight. Move me aside, Lord. And I just pray for each and every person in this place as the message goes out, God, that Father, they would receive what they came for tonight, God. I pray that you'd speak to their individual needs tonight, God. Father, I pray for even for that one person that's thinking about giving up, or that one person, God, that's going through what seems like the storm of their life, God. I pray even right now you begin to speak to them, that you would calm their storm right now, Lord. Father, we pray that you'd have your perfect way here tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You go ahead and have your seat here tonight. Praise the Lord. I want to take this opportunity to thank my pastor for entrusting me with the pulpit here tonight. Always such a tremendous privilege to preach behind this pulpit. Amen. Such great, great leaders we have, Pastor Danny and Sister Barbara, and then all the awesome preachers we got in the church. We're blessed. Amen. We got an amazing worship team. Amen. We got powerful preachers. We got great people, and we got you guys. Amen. We're blessed. Come on, somebody. Sometimes you don't know what you got, right? Sometimes you're just like, oh, man. It's like, but, like, you look around, and you start looking at, like, man, I got it good, right? Sometimes it's like that in a relationship. Pause. Right? And it's like, oh, man, but, hey, man, you got it good. You got it good in the hood. And then also, I want to just take real briefly opportunity to thank all the cast and the crew of Scrooge. Such a tremendous, you guys were amazing. From everybody from the technical, the media, background, ticket sales, everyone, and the crew. And I especially wanted to thank two people. In drama ministry, there's a lot of people involved, and we give it our all, and it turns out so great. But I wanted to take the opportunity to thank two specific people, because the rest of us are just putting on makeup and acting like fools. The two people that make drama ministry happen, Sister Leslie and Sister Michelle, they are so amazing. Make sure to give them a high five. They do so much in the background. I just want to let them know I appreciate all the things they do and helping drama ministry. Well, let's jump right in. Come on, somebody. I did like an Oscar speech right there, huh? I think 17 people, and I'm taking my award and going home. So here we're going to talk about Jehoshaphat, amen, and see what happens. Let me give you a little bit of background what's going down right here in Jehoshaphat's life. Jehoshaphat just got out of this battle where King Ahab died. And what was tricky is King Ahab was kind of trying to set Jehoshaphat up, right? So they were in this battle. You could go back and read it in the backlog. They were in this battle, and they knew that their enemy, when you're like, just like in chess, the motive and the directive of the game of chess is you want to take out the king, right? And so in war, it's like the same thing, right? If you take out the king and you win, So what happened is King Ahab and King Jehoshaphat, they're there. And what Ahab does, he goes, hey, listen, Jehoshaphat, how about you dress up like a king and I'll dress down, right? You put your royal garments on and I'll just put a soldier garments on and I'll be like incognito. And so he was trying to set him up. He was like, you know, I don't want to die. If anybody's going to die, Jehoshaphat's going to die. And so what happened is, you know, even in the Bible, you look in 2 Chronicles 18 or 19, it goes back, and the enemy even says, let's go get the king. Let's go get king. They thought it was Ahab, but Ahab wasn't in the royal garments. But they even said that. But what ended up happening is Jehoshaphat lived and Ahab died. So Ahab had this twisted plan, backfired, but it teaches us the moral. It doesn't matter the plans of man, but God's plan prevails, right? God's plan prevails. So here we catch up with Jehoshaphat. Such a funny name to say. I'm going to say it like 90 times tonight. We catch up with Jehoshaphat, and what's going on is he just had the victory. He just had a victory. He's walking in victory. And I think when I look back at 2017, you know, I can honestly look back and say, hey, this was a year of victory. This was a year, and I got two amens. I got about three amens. I said 2017, it was a year of victory. I know some of you might just ate dinner, had some enchiladas. Maybe you're feeling full and don't feel like yelling. But I'm here to declare that 2017 for Victory Outreach Albuquerque was victory. It was victory for me. It was victory for you. Victory. It was victory. You might be thinking, oh, but I had so many. I didn't say it was a year that I didn't have no trials. I just said it was a year of victory. I had a lot of trials. You had a lot of trials. We had a lot of trials. Come on, somebody. But nevertheless, our God is the King of glory. Nevertheless, God brought us through. Come on, somebody. I said God has taken us somewhere. Amen. It's a year of breakthrough, a year that we rised up. You might be thinking, I'm in the recovery home. How could that be victory? Listen, the recovery home is the first step to victory. I said, you're on your way to victory. 2017 was a year of victory. Some people, no matter how many victories they have, they still ain't got the victory. Oh, they are negative. I got this guy that works for me. I was in his office the other day. I was like, hey, man, because he just got back from El Paso, had some sales meetings. I said, how did your sales meetings go? And he put on this sad face. I hope he doesn't listen to the podcast at all. But he put on this sad face. He started to talk about how this is going wrong. That's going wrong. This ain't right. That ain't right. I don't get no love, respect, all these things. And then he says, I don't even know if this thing's working. Right? And I'm like, I'm starting to get bummed out, man. It's like, this guy's like negative. It's like, what do you mean this thing ain't? I thought we were doing pretty good, right? And so what I do, because I need this thing called evidence. Come on, somebody. So I go to my computer, and I got a thing where I can look at some reports. And I'm saying, this guy thinks that we're failing, that we're diving, that it ain't no good. I pull up the report. It says my company's up 20%. And I'm thinking, I wonder what his report says. See, no matter what happens or how many victories or what happens, they're always negative and negative and negative. Let me give you a secret to victory. It's how you perceive it. See, some of you guys, you perceive, and that's what deceives you. Because you think you're in defeat. You think you're defeated. You think you can't make it. You think everything is going wrong. You think you can't do it. You think you can never be nobody. You can't never be better. That's what you're thinking. It's your perception. But if you would take a look, not in the natural, but if you would take a look in the supernatural, you would understand that you are already on the path, that God already has a map to your destiny, to your purpose, that you are already on the way to victory. I just pulled up the report and I said, hey, it looks to me like we're up 20%. See, the problem is sometimes you believe your own report. Oh, you know where I'm going. Come on, somebody. You got a report. You got, or some of you got people that are talking to you, hey, man, is this thing working out? Or when are you going to church? And you listen to everybody else's report. But the report that you should be listening to is the report of the Lord. You look at the wrong report. But it's the report of the Lord that says, yeah, the latter shall be greater. That sorrow might last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. That is about to get better. You're about to go from busted to blessed. All you got to do is start walking in victory. Talking about how things ain't working out. You ain't working out, brother. I ain't talking bad about nobody. I got a few things. I ain't going to say them. I might say one of them. I ain't going to say it. Back to the message. Hey, babe. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I don't even know where I was at right here. Verse 3. So here we see that a vast army is coming up against Jehoshaphat. Right? So a vast army. And the Bible says in verse 3 that Jehoshaphat was terrified. He was terrified by the news. And then he went from terrified, and then he begged the Lord for guidance. See, he went from victory to being terrified. Just like that. That's how perception can get you. You just walked out of one of the greatest victories that you had. But then just with a little bit of news, just when someone gives you a little bit of negativity, then you get scared. But I like what Jehoshaphat did with his emotion. The Bible says that he begged God for guidance. He begged him. See, sometimes we beg God for blessings. Right? God bless me. See, the problem is we beg God for blessings when we should be begging God for directions. We should be saying, God, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? How do you want? And see, when we're on the path of God, we can receive the blessings of God. When you find your direction, God's going to lead you. He's going to guide you so you can receive every promise that he's promised you. Too busy praying for blessings. But you still ain't in the right place. And that's why we get mad when things don't work out our way. Right? You say, well, I thought it was going to be, I thought, you know, by this age I was going to be married. Some of y'all. I thought I was going to do this. Or I thought I was going to be here. You know what? It's not your plan. It's not your will. It's his will. And it's his plan. Right? That's why you can't just stay there all stuck when things don't work out. So I got this little cat, right? So you know I got dogs, but this year we got a cat. It's a kitty. It's a kitten, right? His name's Abishai. He's a little warrior cat. So this little cat, kitten, what the kitten does, and I didn't believe it at first, right? Because at first I said, because we got the Deborah home and the girls, right? And I heard. Like, the cat was biting Rachel's toes. That's what I heard, right? While she was sleeping. And, I thought, she's probably, And then I hear from down the hall, JL, my daughter, screaming, the cat's biting my toes, the cat's biting my toes. My cat has a toe problem. Right? And so even I've experienced laying down and the cat bites my toe. And the cat got a little sharp, jaws teeth. This ain't no regular cat teeth. This is like needle teeth, shark teeth. And so the other day I was laying in bed and it's like, you make the mistake of not covering your toes, it's on you. It's on you. You can't wear sandals in my house. You gotta wear shoes. Now, I don't know if he's gonna grow out of it. So I'm walking around and I'm walking. I'm in the motion of walking. And the cat dive bombs my feet and starts biting my toes. like on the move. Like, you know, Pastor knows it's one thing to shoot something standing still, but like you got to track it when it's moving. The cat was tracking my toes. And so what I do is I pick up the kitty, right, and I put him outside the door, and I shut the door. Bad kitty, right? And what does the cat do? It sits at my door and starts meow, meow. And like, oh, really? Really? Like, it will not stop. I ain't letting the cat in. The cat chewed my toes, right? And it reminds me how sometimes that when God closes the door on us, all we do is sit at the closed door and start crying. Ah, why didn't I get through this door, God? Ah, I went back at the door, God. And you're sitting at the closed door crying. But you didn't know when God closes one door, he opens up another. Quit crying. Meow. That wasn't even had nothing to do with my message here. Verse 5. Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard in the temple of the Lord. He prayed, O Lord, God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are the ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. So here, right here, Jehoshaphat was declaring. He was telling God who God was. And sometimes, in order for you to remember who God is, you got to tell God who he is. And while you're confessing who God is, then you remember all the things that God has done. So this is what Jehoshaphat was doing. He was declaring to God who God was. But I like how he changes it up right here. He says, oh, our God, did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your people Israel arrived? And did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settled here and built this temple to honor your name. They said, wherever we are faced with any calamity, such as war, plague, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. He said, did you not? When Jehoshaphat was declaring who God was, then he began inside himself to convince himself who his God was. And sometimes when you're going through the trials and the circumstances and the storms of life, you have to have a conversation with God, but it's really God having a conversation with you. You begin to say, God, did you not deliver me from meth addiction? God, did you not save me? God, did you not rescue me? God, did you not deliver me? And you begin to declare how great and how powerful your God is. And as you begin to declare that, every time you raise up the banner of Christ, your faith raises as well. And what seemed to be hopeless, what seemed to be negative, God will turn it around and you'll begin to believe that all things are possible. So did you not? Weren't you not the one? Did not you bring us here? And I believe Jehoshaphat, while he was there having that conversation with God, I believe that his faith, he went from negative, and I believe it turned him around to see how great and awesome his God was. And then he said, then he reminds God of what his ancestors said. Right? He began to remind God of what his leaders had told him. That they said, and the Bible even says in verse 9, they said, whenever we are faced with any calamity, such as war, plague, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored, and we can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. Activating and declaring the promises of God. Because the Bible says earlier that a vast army, a great army, was coming to get Jehoshaphat. Let's move on. Bible says in verse 10, "And now see what the armies of the Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir were doing. You would not let our ancestors invade those nations where Israel left Egypt." So now what he's doing is he's letting God know all these nations that are now coming up against us, all these nations that for so long you had us go around. Right? So when they first came into the territory, they came into the promised land, God took them around, and these were the nations that they did not defeat. Not because God didn't want them to defeat them, but because those were the nations that they had not yet defeated. So these were the ones, they even went out of their way. Get this, you got to let this sink in. They went out of their way to not defeat these. Right? God took them out of their way. So they wouldn't defeat these, the Moabites, the Amorites, all these ones right here. Out of the way. And then he tells them, this is how they reward us for letting them live. They're going to come try to attack us. Right? And this is how we think, right, as people in our natural. We begin to think all the things that God hasn't done. Right? All the things that, but God, I thought you were going to do this, and I thought you were going to do that. And instead of focusing on the things that God has done, we begin to think about the things that God hasn't done. Right? And we begin to say, but God, look out, is this how they reward us? Now that they're coming to kill us, they're coming to take us out, they're coming to end us, this is how I'm rewarded? And this is what Jehoshaphat is saying right here. All these nations, Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, the ones that they had to go around, so they went around, they did not destroy them. Verse 11, now see how they reward us, for they have come to throw us out of our land, which you have gave us as an inheritance. Oh, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help. Verse 13, I know I'm reading a lot of scriptures, keep up with me. As all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jaziel. He said, listen, verse 15, he said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged by his mighty arm, by this mighty army. The battle is not yours, but God's. So what was taking place right here, God took them around these three nations, so they were not defeated. Then these three nations are coming to defeat Israel, right? Or Jehoshaphat. They're coming to defeat him. But then, so Jehoshaphat goes to fasting and prayer, and this is the word that was given. The battle is not yours, but God's. And see, sometimes we get the misconception. We get down the wrong track thinking that we got to fight all the battles. Thinking that we're going to get overpowered. But see, sometimes the battle isn't ours, but the battle is God's. See, because it's in the will of God. See, this battle, this plan is in God's will and God's purpose. See, we get tripped out sometimes because when the storm comes, we think, oh God, why did the storm come? But see, the thing about the storm is sometimes you need the storm. Because your boat can't go nowhere without no wind. See, some trials, they're not meant to break you. They're meant to make you. You're looking at the situation all wrong. See, God's going to turn it around for the good. Right? So we see here the three that were going to defeat them, went around, didn't defeat them. They're coming back. God says that it's not, the battle's not yours, but God's. And then it goes on to say, verse 16, tomorrow march out against them. You will find them coming up to Ziz at the end. It keeps on going down. But verse 17, but you will not even need to fight. Take your positions. Then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. Right? See, sometimes we don't even have to fight. We just have to get in position. We just have to take position. See, that's the problem when we're always getting defeated, because we're not in position. See, throughout the Bible, you see men that were in the right position. Do you really think that a smooth, small stone could take out and knock out a big old giant? I don't think so. Right? What I think, it was the power of God behind the stone that hit the giant. Right? It wasn't a giant stone. It was the giant God that took out the giant. You look at Elijah. Right? Elijah was there with Elijah. He was his assistant. And then Elijah asked him, "What do you want from me?" And Elijah said, "I want a double portion of your anointing." What did Elijah say? "If you're with me when I'm taken up, you'll get your request." So what happened? So Elijah, for the next portion of time, he followed Elijah wherever he went. Elijah even said, "Hey, listen, I'm going over here. You stay here." He said, "Ah, I ain't staying here. Oh, no, I ain't that guy. I'm going to get mine." Right? He said, "Oh," and then three times, "Why don't you stay here? I'm going, no. You said if I was with you when you were taken up, that I would get a double portion of your anointing." See, Elijah was in position. He was in position. You got to get in position. You got to get in position for your victory. God will fight the fight. You just got to be in position. Verse 18. "And then King Jehoshaphat bowed low his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout." And this is where it gets really good. Verse 20. It's been good. This is where it gets good. "Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tokea. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, 'Listen to me. All you people of Judah and Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm.'" See, the Bible says you're not going to have to fight, right? It said what you do have to do is you have to get in position. Now, the thing is, when you're in a race, there's like a ready, set, go, right? But, well, you're set. If you fall off, you're disqualified. So it's very important that you stay in position. And what he was saying, if you believe in the Lord your God, if you remember all the great things that he's done, if you remember all the victories that he's given you in the past, if you can believe what your pastors and your leaders have been telling you all this time about who you are and the purpose that God has for you, if you believe all of that, if you believe the Word of God, if you can open up the Bible and say, "I believe," then you will be able in the battle to stand firm. You'll be able to. You won't have to leave or bounce out or flip out or you won't have to do you. Why? Because you believe. This walk that we're in, it's a walk of faith, right? You gotta have faith. Not like George Mike. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you are too young for that one. You gotta believe, because when you believe, you'll be able to withstand anything. Withstand anything. Let's move on. Believe, and this is why I like the second part of that, believe in his prophets and you will succeed. And it was talking about your leaders, your pastors, the prophets. It's talking about if you believe, that's why it's so important to follow your leaders. Right? Too many Lone Ranger Christians, right? They think they know it all. Come on, somebody. Just got here in the home. Praise the Lord. I already know more than you do. Long pause. Moving on. Verse 21. I'm almost finished. If I can get the keyboard player up. Verse 21. After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. And pay attention. This is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. So what they did, they before the battle, they gave him thanks. They gave him thanks because his love endures forever. And see, that's the kind of praise that we have to have going into the battle. First of gratitude and thanks, but knowing no matter what, he'll never leave us. This is forever. It's going to endure forever. So they were praising, and then verse 22, at that very moment they began to sing and give him praise. It says, at that very moment, verse 22, they began to sing and give him praise. The Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After they had destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. So when the army, this is good stuff right here. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies laying everywhere. I know that sounds kind of gross right now, but listen to it again. Verse 24. You're like, is this a Christmas message? Hey, it's good. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies laying on the ground as far as they could see. That added to it, huh? Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. Verse 25. King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could carry. There was so much plunder that took them 3 days to collect it all. On the fourth day, they gathered, listen to this, in the Valley of Blessings. That's what they named it, right? Dead bodies everywhere, as far as the eye could see, right? So what happened? Back up. Second Chronicles chapter 20, at the beginning of it, what does the Bible say? A messenger came and told him a vast army, right? A great opposition was coming. But you see, sometimes that great opposition is just a disguise for a great opportunity. On purpose, God had them go around those three nations on purpose. Why? Jehoshaphat and Judah could be defeated later? No. These three nations were set aside to be the future blessings. Sometimes your blessing, your breakthrough, is disguised as opposition. The very thing that's going to take you to the next level. The very thing that's going to take you to where you need to be. The very thing that's going to give you your breakthrough. The very trial that's going to propel you into your destiny. At first, you're going to look at it and you're going to say, why me? Why, God, another trial? Why, God, another storm? Instead of looking at that storm and grabbing your surfboard. Say, I'm going to ride this thing to my destiny. Listen, 2017 was the year of victory. It was the year that we rised up. It was the year, I believe, that we had, like our pastor's been preaching, a 7 times greater anointing. But some of those breakthroughs and some of those victories were disguised as trials. And I believe, just what my pastor said on Sunday, the rest of my year is going to be the best of my year. Some of you right now, you are in a trial. You are in a storm. Right? You said, I'm going through it. Come on, somebody. You said, you know, this brother, he's rubbing me the wrong way. My boss, help me, Lord. Right? Help me stay saved. Come on, somebody. But that very thing is going to be exactly what you need That very thing is going to be the thing that springboards you into 2018, walking in breakthrough, walking in victory. Let's stand to our feet all over this place. All we worship you tonight, God. All we need you, Lord. Come on, close your eyes all over this place. We saw that Jehoshaphat was there, and the Bible said that he was terrified, that a vast army was setting out to destroy him. But all along, as we read through 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we all saw it was part of God's plan. That it wasn't meant to destroy him. It wasn't meant to end him. It wasn't meant to kill him. But it was there as the blessing. It was there as the breakthrough. It was exactly what he needed. It was the wind and the storm that would take control of his sails and take his ship of destiny to the next place. It was the very thing that was the fuel in his car that would drive him to the next part of it, of his purpose, of his calling. It was the faith that he needed to go to the next level of his ministry. That trial wasn't meant to kill him. Oh, but it was there to bless him. It wasn't meant to break him. It was meant to make him. And I pray here as we come and we're in December, as we're closing out 2017, we got 3-4 weeks to go. I pray in the name of Jesus that Victory Outreach Albuquerque would use their current situations. Oh, that the trials and storms that we're going through, God. Oh, Father, that they would be the springboard to our success. They would be the launch pad of victory. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, that right now that every person in this place, God, that thought about giving up, God. Oh, Father, I pray that you would speak to them, God. Oh, that the struggle comes right before the blessing. Oh, there's some here that's given up in the past and they've walked away maybe one or two or three times. I pray right now, God, that you would speak to them not to walk away, not to give up, not to give in, but to press in. Oh, in the name of Jesus. If you're here tonight and you say, that's me. My 2017, it was a year of challenge. It was a year of trials, but I still got the victory. Maybe you're saying, man, it didn't even feel like a year of victory. But now that I think back and I can look on the report of the Lord, I can see that this year was a year of building me. This year was a year of teaching me. This year was a year of preparing me for what God has in the future for me. If you're here tonight, you say, man, I've been feeling like I'm defeated. Listen, God didn't write a sad story. When God writes your story, at the end, you win. So whatever God has for you, as long as you stay on track with Him, keep walking in His will, keep walking in His plan, then at the end of the book, my friend, then you will have the victory. You will have purpose. You will have prosperity. All you got to do is keep on walking and don't give up. If you're here tonight and this message spoke to you, I want you to step out of your seats. If that's you, you say, you know what? I need the victory in my life. Oh, we worship you, God.